Good afternoon, everyone. It's always a pleasure to be in the Seattle area. It is such a beautiful area. I know I don't need to tell you all that, but for a while there in Atlanta, we were having some Seattle weather. It was nice and cool during the day and very cool in the evening, and we had 21 days of straight rain, or it rained for 21 days straight, but I mean, it rained sometimes. We have a reservoir, Lake Lanier, that was down about 12 feet, and it's now about 2 feet higher than it's ever been. So that's how much rain came, and we still don't have weather like this, though. But it was close. It was nice. You know, brethren, before I get started, I do want to say hello to some friends of ours in Atlanta that's supposed to be watching the cybercast today. Glenn, if it's not working, turn the computer on. So that's about as high-tech as Glenn and I are when it comes to computers. But brethren, you know, if you look around and you listen to any of the news or read a newspaper, and I've read a couple of articles in the Seattle paper since I've been here, there's really not much to cheer about. It's all bad. Not all bad, but a lot of it's bad. You know, you got this SARS epidemic that's very scary. Just heard about a man out in, I guess, west of here that may have the West Nile virus. There's terrorism. We're in an orange alert, or I guess we've dropped it back to a yellow alert now. So there's not a lot to be happy about or to cheer about in this old world. A couple of years ago, there was an article in the newspaper where we live. We live in a small town about 80 miles north of Atlanta. Its population about 6,000, has two traffic lights in town, and we absolutely love it up there. And there was an article that made the front page, and I would like to read it today. As an example of hopefully what we have to look forward to in the world tomorrow, that hopefully, brethren, this will be the worst, most tragic news that you'll hear in the world tomorrow. And it has been, this is a true story, made the front page. The county's most beloved steer, Moses the Ox, died Saturday after 20 years of entertaining children and adults alike. Hugh Tatum's ox Moses spent most of his life participating in parades and community events and taking children for rides in his buggy. "I got him just for that, and he turned out wonderful," said Tatum, a native of Pickens County, who took care of Moses since he was young. "He wasn't spooked by anything at all, and he loved kids and he loved to be in parades," Tatum said. Tatum bought Moses on July 9, 1980, from a man who ran a dairy farm in Dawson County, which isn't very far from Pickens County. Moses has been in countless parades, including the annual Marble Festival here, the North Georgia Fair in Hiawassee, the Sorghum Parade in Blairsville, and the Gold Rush Parade in Dahlonega, just to name a few. And by the way, Dahlonega, for you history buffs, was the site of the first gold rush in the United States. "The parade month is October, and he'll miss out on that this year," Tatum said. Moses' personality made him a hit with children and a treat for all who came around him. The more people looked at him and petted him, the more he liked it, Tatum said. Each spring and fall for many years, Tatum would take his prized steer to ride children in Mrs. Moore's third grade class in Jasper. Besides the elementary school, Tatum said Moses rode children at Tate School, Head Start, and Ball Ground. Moses even got his 15 minutes of fame when he participated in a play in Ball Ground. The sight of Tatum and Moses meandering up and down the streets of Tatum has caused more than one person to stop and stare, according to Tatum. Larry Hanna used to be the preacher at the Tate United Methodist Church. Larry was around Stone Mountain and was told at the church's convention that he would be going to Tate to minister. He had never heard of Tate, so one day he told his wife they should ride through Tate and see what it looks like. "Well, that morning, I decided to ride Moses up to the post office," Tatum said. "And when they got to the four-way stop, there I sat on that steer." The minister's wife said to him, "We're definitely in the country up here, dear." Tatum said he will sorely miss Moses. The rest of us will, too. Brethren, that might not sound like much, but whenever I watch the news, pardon me, watch the news and see how bad it is, I think about this article sometimes. I say, you know, Moses the Ox made the front page in Jasper Pickens Jasper County Pickens Progress newspaper. And someday, hopefully, that will be the worst news we'll ever hear. But before that time, we have to live in this old world of Satan. And if it wasn't for God's Holy Spirit, and that's what I'd like to talk to you a little about today, is, you know, just 8 days before Pentecost. And without God's plan, without Christ's sacrifice and the days of unleavened bread and the leading up to Pentecost, none of us would be sitting here today. Even in spite of Christ's sacrifice, if he had not sent God's Holy Spirit back, and we'll read that in a minute, none of us would understand God's truth. And I'd like to turn over to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and let's look at what is known or called as the Beatitudes. We won't go through all of them. There's too many for sermonette time. But I would like to look at two of them. And it's interesting, I think, that Christ started out after he had gone through the temptation with Satan and chosen his disciples, that he sat down with them and gave them a Sermon on the Mount, which, as you know, 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, if you look at that, it's really the reflections of the mind of Christ. But he started out with the Beatitudes, or what has become known as the Beatitudes. But in order to have these types of characteristics, you cannot do that without God's Holy Spirit. It's absolutely impossible. Now, I'd like to look at, like I said, just two of them. Let's just look at Matthew 5 and verse 6. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Fill there means gorged, or to supply food in abundance. So if we're really seeking the righteousness of God, God will give it to us, and he'll give it to us abundantly. Let's turn over to John 16, where we read that we must have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had to be sent in order for any of us to understand God's truth. Before Christ's crucifixion, he was telling the disciples in John 16, verse 7, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send it to you. And when it comes, it will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not know me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." In other words, the Holy Spirit will lead us to righteousness because of Christ's sacrifice. So the whole plan works together. You can't have one without the other. You must first have Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, but then again, you must have God's Holy Spirit. Verse 13, "However, when the Spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come. It will glorify me, for it will take of what is mine and declare it to you." And that's what we understand, isn't it? God's truth, because of our mind being opened by God in the granting of his Holy Spirit. Verse 15, "All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, it will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So, brethren, without the day of Pentecost, which is just, like I said, it was Sunday week, about 8 days away, none of us can understand God's truth. None of us can live by what is in the Beatitudes. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and we'll read a little bit more about how important God's Holy Spirit is to us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?" And that's really our intellect, what allows us to think and understand things. It's the spirit of man, isn't it? "Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." In other words, we freely know God's truth, and we freely know how to live God's way of life because of the granting of God's Holy Spirit. But again, none of that would be possible without God's plan in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, what we used to be like, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And you see that in every walk of life. If anybody tries to talk about God, well, they're pretty much shut down and rather quickly. Verse 15, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who knows the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. In other words, we have the mind of Christ, which Christ started to explain there in Matthew 5 through what is known as the Beatitudes, really in how to live. But you can't live that way without God's Holy Spirit. I'd like to look at one other of the Beatitudes during the sermon at time. And this is one that in Matthew 5:8 it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What a blessing, brethren, to be able to see God at some time with a pure heart. And that pure heart can either mean clean or clear heart, stand before God, living his life, because we have his Holy Spirit, because he has built his righteousness within us, because we're willing to allow that to happen, and we know that God gets all the credit. We won't turn there, but I type these out. In Psalms 24, verse 3 and 5, it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Eternal? Who may stand in his holy place? Verse 4, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, that's who can stand before God, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. And in verse 5, he shall receive blessing from the Eternal and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So that's how God works. If we try to live by what God has written here and look to him to supply that strength through his Holy Spirit, these are the promises that we can look forward to in the world tomorrow. Psalm 51, as we all know, is the Psalm of David's repentance. And in verse 10 and 11, David asked God to forgive him, of course, of his sins, and we all know what those were. We won't go into those today. But what did David ask for? In Psalm 51, verse 10 and 11, David said, create in me a clean heart, O God. In other words, clean up his heart, a pure heart, or a clear heart, and renew a steadfast spirit within me, one that cannot be moved to sin, one that if he would give his life to God and use God's Holy Spirit, that God would create that steadfast spirit within him, just like he will with us. In verse 11, he says, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now, that's the last thing any of us would ever want to happen in our lives. We never want to quench God's Holy Spirit. Well, let's just look at one final scripture, talking about seeing God and the great promises that we have to look forward to in God's kingdom. Because every one of us sitting here, God's Holy Spirit, have an opportunity to be a part of God's family. And after all, that is why we're here, to be a part of his family and to help the people that you see in the world now that are so depraved. We were talking about some of the things that are on TV today that are just absolutely disgusting. And someday those people are going to have to be taught the right way to live. And that's why God is training us to be able to help those people in the world tomorrow and to use his Spirit today to learn these lessons. Let's turn to John 3, in verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is a lot of love, that God loves us so much that he calls us his children. And we know that someday we will be a part of his family, because God is building a family. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Well, the world really does know us if you know people in the world, but they just don't know our way of life because God hasn't revealed it to them at this time. Verse 2, beloved, Now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, when Jesus Christ returns, the first resurrection, those of us who are the first fruits are going to see God, see Jesus Christ, and we'll see God the Father when he brings New Jerusalem back to this earth. Verse 3, and everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself, just as he is pure. Well, brethren, like I said, it's always a pleasure to be in Seattle. It's certainly a nice, warm congregation. And someday, brethren, we all have an opportunity to be in God's kingdom. And I hope between now and Pentecost, maybe most of us, if not all of us, will have an opportunity to read through what is known as the Beatitudes, because it really does show what God's Spirit can do in human beings.